A mad game as Amad Diallo seals Man United's victory in a 7-goal FA Cup thriller against Liverpool.
It's Manchester United's quarter-final in classic Manchester United fashion.
Coventry City reached the FA Cup semi-finals for only the second time in their 140-year history.
Coventry have won it! In the 100th minute!
Boos rang out across Stamford Bridge at Pochettino and Sterling as Chelsea managed to get over the line against Leicester.
Missed penalties, comical own goals, red cards, place in the semi-final. They'll be talking about this for years, but they'll never be able to make sense of it.
Welcome back to the Board Draw Podcast. This is episode 89.
And we're talking all things FA Cup. With a series of lacklustre fixtures in the Premier League, the FA Cup took centre stage for what was an absolutely thrilling weekend of football. Just briefly talking about the Premier League.
Stinker, mate.
Mate, FPL teams across the country took a real hit as they free hit.
I dropped, I think, an 18, mate, which is so bad. I think the average was like 12.
Yeah, I dropped 15 without free hitting, so I was pretty chuffed with that. Save that for bigger things to come. But yeah, the Premier League was a little bit lackluster. We saw Spurs drop 3 big goals against a very good Fulham team.
I tweeted this. I was like, they'll still find a way to give Ange manager of the season.
But yeah, the FA Cup took centre stage and it was an absolutely outrageous weekend of football in the FA Cup. Even Man City's 3-0 demolition of Newcastle was quite good. But we're not here to talk about boring Manchester City. We're going to move swiftly into
the other side of Manchester.
The other side of Manchester, where 7 goals.
A mad game.
Yeah, it was a mad game, if you will, because what an outrageous performance from both teams. I mean, defensively, but going forward, both teams looked pretty decent.
Man United come into this game a bit like ropey form, but Liverpool, strong form, walked through their Europa League tie, and yeah, they're looking solid. So you're thinking this is going to be a Liverpool demolition job, but Man United out of the blocks were electric. Cobbie Mainoo and Scott McTominay in the midfield. I think a lot of people dislike Scott McTominay, and I get why he's not the most tidy player on the ball. But what he will give you is energy, late arrivals in the box, which most of the time lead to goals, and yeah, just work rate.
Physicality.
And then alongside him, you've got Cobbie Mainoo, who I think is one of the most exciting prospects in not just English football, just in football in general. 18 years old, and he's bossing a game against a Liverpool midfield of Szoboszlai, McAllister and Endo. So good.
It makes you question Gareth Southgate and how Jordan Henderson is in the team, but someone like Cobbie Mainoo is still playing with the under-21s. The game started with a real pace and venom from Manchester United. I mean, Garnacho, Rashford as well, both getting in behind that Liverpool defence and causing chaos from the off. And it wasn't long before Kelleher, who had a pretty good game, parried one of Garnacho's shots off, and then McTominay stabbed home the rebound. Yeah, and very quickly after that, McTominay found himself in a similar position and put it straight at Kelleher. And Man United looked like they could have gone 3 or 4 up within the first 15 minutes. It was outrageous.
They shocked Liverpool. I don't know if that's as a result of Liverpool, like we said, having midweek fixtures. I saw Klopp post-game saying, he was in a foul mood, Klopp, post-game. But he was saying how like Man United have played so many less games than Liverpool, so it was only natural that the Liverpool players are more tired than United players. And I get what he means, but I don't think it was a case of being tired. I think Man United just came out just quicker.
They were hungry, weren't they? And yeah, it was a brilliant start from United, and it seemed to sort of falter off in the sort of mid stages of that first half. But they were 1-0 up until that 43rd minute where Alexis McAllister, who Liverpool, they had been probing around that Man United box. They'd seen quite a lot of possession outside the area. They managed to get it to McAllister at the edge of the area, who has a lot of time, a lot of space, and he puts it at home. And Liverpool are probably good value for that draw going into half-time drawing. Ten Hag would be furious. I mean, the commentary spoke about it a lot. His team talk went from being good guys, keep it up, to being all right. Well, we're 1-1, let's keep doing what we're doing.
And then not even that, because last kick of the first half, Salah knocks home a goal and it's 2-1. And that's Man United for me. I think one thing they've lacked all season is game management. I think Maybe it's as a result of, like, not enough senior players on the pitch, and then the senior players they've got being the likes of Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford, who, in my opinion, just aren't the kind of leaders that you need on the pitch. And so I think, yeah, that lack of game management told when Liverpool go into the half-time 2-1 up.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, Man United weren't out of it at that point, but they were looking like, I think I texted you, I said, like, Man United are falling apart now, and yeah, that's it. Like, I thought Liverpool were going to come out second half, be more of the same, and Liverpool would have put them to the sword. But
in all fairness to Man United, it's a good trait for them to, because like you said, they shouldn't have gone into halftime 2-1 down. So their heads could have dropped and they could have come out the second half and got absolutely destroyed. So it's good for them as a show of kind of mentality to come out in the second half. Yes, Liverpool still dominated the second half, but to not completely capitulate and concede 3-4-5.
Yeah, I mean, so it gets to later on in the second half. Liverpool have been the dominant force, really. And then you see a change. I think Robertson comes off, Szoboszlai comes off, Salah comes off, and Liverpool are looking to see out the game, really. And then a man who has had an absolute stinker of a season pulls something out of his arse and absolutely blinds Liverpool fans. Anthony, off the bench. And he done what sort of Man United expected him to do.
Actually had a good little cameo, to be fair to him.
Yeah, and so Liverpool, that's a real stomach punch that late on in the game. Always is for any team. And then after that, it sort of took the wind out of their sails. They're going, looking like they're going to come out of this 2-1. And then it goes to extra time.
Well, do you see as well, just before it goes to extra time, Rashford was in 1-1. Mm. Literally last kick of the game and spoons it wide.
Yeah, I mean, who played that ball? Because it was an outrageous ball, like all the way over the top, weren't it?
And was it Lindelof?
And
maybe
he gets in right behind. I think it might be.
Great first touch from him, and then he just absolutely spoons it wide.
And I think
so bad.
If you catch Marcus Rashford at this point last season, he's burying it. I mean, it's stank of a man who just lacked confidence. But he didn't really have a bad game. It's just that final bit of quality where I think him and even Garnacho can. That's where they need to look to improve, because they get into the right positions. Mm. They're dangerous, and they were a real threat against Liverpool's both wing-backs the entire game. It's just that final little bit of quality. But Man United, what I want to highlight as well throughout the game, that third man running towards the penalty spot, they were always getting that cut back in. Mm. And it took Liverpool so long to realise, right, we've got to have someone tracking that runner or blocking that channel off, because they were constantly getting off. We saw McTominay have several attempts at that, even Bruno at some points. And yeah, for Liverpool to go into extra time, missing Salah, Szoboszlai, Robertson off the pitch, I mean, it's not looking great.
No, Man United probably in the ascendancy going into extra time. And you think, Man United get a result here because, well, I said this to you, I text you, and I was like, it means nothing if Man United pull one back, go to extra time and then lose. Because it's like, what are you doing? You've got to get it over the line now. Mm. You've
given yourself that opportunity, haven't you?
Yeah, you've given yourself the opportunity, gone to extra time. Now you've got to, especially when Liverpool go 3-2 up in extra time with a speculative shot from Harvey Elliott from the edge of the box.
Yeah.
It was a
deflection shot, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true, actually. It did take a deflection. But yeah, at that point, you're thinking, have Liverpool gone and won this with the kids on the pitch? But
that's sort of like how it's been all season, like how Liverpool done it. They're constantly scoring late goals. I know it doesn't really count as a late goal if it's in the first half of extra time, but they always seem to find that just extra gear,
yeah,
and that extra bit of something from nowhere.
I said that for Klopp for years, haven't they? Mentality monsters. And
oh, 100%. They're everything that Man United
now even
need
the kids
to be.
Have got that, yeah.
But at this point, I was thinking, right, Liverpool, they'll see it out now. That's it. The legs will be gone. But Man United made some interesting changes. I mean, I think by the end of the game, Bruno Fernandes was playing centre-back.
Yeah, I think Bruno and, who is it, Eriksen were playing centre-backs.
Yeah.
Which is mental.
And it, to be fair, it
makes a Mount out of cameo.
It showed a lot of guts from Erik ten Hag, who perhaps has not had any plaudits, maybe rightfully. Mm. But it showed a lot of guts that they were going to go out there and they were going to really give it a go. They could have shut up shop and then tried to just maybe go extra time and get to penalties. Yeah. But they didn't really. And they reaped the rewards of it. I mean, Amad Diallo came on and he was dangerous.
Yeah, he's got to be starting for me. I know a lot of people in the football sphere have been calling for him to get more game time, especially over the likes of Antony.
Yeah, he finished last season with Sunderland absolutely
on
electric.
Fire,
he
yeah.
was unbelievable for them. And I mean, I think he was injured during summer, so he didn't get a summer transfer window loan out again. I think Sunderland were wanting him back. But and I think he was also hoping that he would get like some features in the first team, especially when the likes of Pellistri, Anthony, Garnacho, Rashford haven't had like the best of seasons. Mm. It makes you wonder why he's taking so long to get into the first team. But
yeah.
Have you heard about his story?
What story?
So he was trafficked into Italy as a young player.
Oh, mad.
And then they forged all his documents, like took him over from Africa, forged all his documents and things like that. And then he ended up getting fined when he was like 16 or something, or like even younger, for having fake documents. He's ended up in the Manchester United Academy, and he's just put him through to a FA Cup semi-final, which is nuts.
Mad.
So good on him. And yeah, it's just great to see. I mean, Man United...
And then he got red-carded for celebrating taking his top off. That is mental, isn't it?
It's such an old...
The rule is tapped, but I love it for him. Like, I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just a shame. I mean, like, he's literally... Come on. Scored the winning goal in the FA Cup quarterfinal to put his team through against one of their biggest rivals. Like, bar Man City, their biggest rivals.
Yeah.
So... If you can't take top off them, when can you? And it's not like he's showing anything because they all have Under Armour on. So
yeah, that's true.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, so I think that's something that needs to be completely wiped from the game. I don't get it.
Yeah, shame he can't play in the semis now as well. That's sad for him.
Bit of a stinker. But yeah, Man United, in my opinion, good value for their win.
Yeah, and they'll be looking to beat who they pulled in the draw to make, what is it, Erik ten Hag's second FA Cup final in two seasons.
Yeah.
If they get through... Coventry City, who, against Premier League opposition, Wolves, had an exciting 3-2 win. Another last gasp winner with Ellis Sims and Hadji Wright leading the charge.
Yeah, Ellis Sims, who's...
Everton loanee.
Yeah, he's come under a little bit of stick.
Both
really,
of them, and Hadji Wright have been underperforming, apparently.
I think Ellis Sims... Well, obviously, Coventry last season, they had Victor Gyökeres, which is... incredible to think because of what he's going on to do at the minute in Portugal. But Ellis Sims, I think he's got quite a hefty... I thought they signed him on a permanent deal.
I don't know, maybe.
But I think it was about 8 million they paid for him. And it seems that he's not really pulled up the performances that we would be expecting him for prey of that price tag in the Championship. But Mark Robbins has done such a good job with Coventry, leading them through League One. They're now playoffs every season in the Championship. I mean, they were lucky last year.
Against Luton, yeah.
And yeah, it's a great victory for them. It's a great victory for the footballing pyramid. Because they went 1-0 up, didn't they? And it took a year for that goal to be given, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
VAR took like 8 minutes or
something. And it wasn't even like...
It wasn't blatant,
oh, they got no like actual camera angle to disprove it. But yeah, it was kind of like the Man United game where they go 1-0 up and then kind of dip off in performance. And the opposition, Liverpool, and in this case Wolves, kind of take momentum. Ryan Aitnuri, who I think is recently in the Prem, he's been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, he kind of led the charge for Wolves in this game. Scored one, assisted one. I think he's a player to keep an eye out because I think he's due a massive move.
Yeah, I mean, he's a weird one because he's been there and thereabouts. But like he's never really pulled up any trees. But this season, he's really come into his own, especially the latter part of it. And yeah, I mean, Wolves would be really disappointed, I think, because you're not really going to get a better opportunity to get to an FA Cup semi-final. I mean, they've done absolutely brilliant this season under Gary O'Neill. And an FA Cup semi-final would have been an absolute... cherry on top of their season.
100%.
And I mean, you would have given them a chance against sort of Chelsea or United, haven't they gone through?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, they had a close game against Man United earlier in the season. What was it, 4-3 or 3-2?
Yeah.
Called me my new winner. And I think they've beaten Chelsea this season, so...
But I mean, fair play to Coventry because Ellis Sims missed an absolute sitter. The sitter of all sitters during the game. And like, to come back and not let that affect you and then get the winning goal is absolutely outrageous. Yeah, was it him or was it
97th minute, he got the equaliser to take it to 2-2. And then in the 100th minute, he assisted Hadji Wright.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely stellar performance from Coventry. Two late goals to take them through to their first FA Cup final in a hundred... No, first FA Cup final since 1987.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Which is mental.
I mean, did you see all the stuff about Mark Robbins celebrating in front of the ball boy?
I did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently Mark Robbins, I think earlier on in the game, the ball boy like
laughed at him
and dropped the ball at him. I mean, like, mate, you're like a 60-year-old man. Like, how you get rattled by a ball boy?
Do you know that video? A super old video of Michael Owen doing like goalkeeping drills with that kid.
Yeah, he's like, well done, he's 30.
Well done, he's 13. That's literally it.
I mean, and then he goes and celebrates in front of the ball with ways.
I love it though. That is football heritage.
It might seem a bit harsh, but it's a learning lesson. Like, it's part of the game.
It is football. Like, I get he's in a position of kind of power and like responsibility and all that jazz, but emotion's emotion, mate. It is what it is.
Mate, if you give it, you got to take it.
Exactly. And it could end up like, do you know that kid, that ball boy that Hazard booted?
And now he's like part of
AU. And now, he owns AU Vodka. Yeah. So that kid could grow up to own a vodka brand.
Yeah, but Gary O'Neill obviously came out, made some damning remarks about Mark Robbins. Apparently he waited for him and then spoke to him. Gary O'Neill, he's a classy manager, which we like to see. But yeah, I don't think Mark Robbins done anything too wrong.
I'll back it. I think it's a good laugh. And yeah, shout out to Coventry, FA Cup semi-final against Manchester United.
Sky Blues taking on the Sky Blues.
No. Manchester United.
Oh yeah, no, they got it. Yeah, I thought they got City. Yeah, no. So yeah, Man United potentially... pretty easy route to the final, a second final.
I wonder who they would have. Obviously, they don't want City, but I wonder who they would have preferred out of Chelsea or United. Coventry fans, let us know in the comments.
Do you know what, though? Like, if they come and do what they've done against Wolves, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, they beat both Man United and Chelsea, I reckon.
I mean, yeah.
Talking to Chelsea, let's move on to Chelsea, the other half of the draw. Chelsea versus Man City. We won't talk about Man City because they just walked all over Newcastle. Boring game. But Chelsea, Leicester, on the other hand, exciting. Leicester, one of the best teams in the Championship.
On
and Chelsea,
an absolute fall off at the minute, though.
That's true. I think
Leeds now sit top of the table.
Outside
they had
the top three? Leicester outside the top three now, aren't
they?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, they've got a game in hand, though. But, I mean, Leicester were 14 points clear at one point. They are on... I mean, they lost to QPR. Need I say more?
But Leicester, one of the best teams in the Championship. Chelsea, one of the worst teams in the Premier League. So this was due to be a corker.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, it was from the off, really. I mean, Chelsea started really well.
Chelsea looked good, mate. Yeah. Some games, Chelsea are weird, man. Some games, they look absolutely electric. When they played Newcastle last week in the Premier League, absolutely walked all over Newcastle.
But I mean, they've got the personnel there to do it.
They can be electric. Like I said with Scott McTominay and Kobbie Mainoo in midfield, with Saicedo and Gallagher in your midfield, you've got legs, you've got energy. You should be outrunning teams. And most of the time, that doesn't happen with Chelsea. But today, in this game, absolutely outran the Leicester midfield for like the first 30, 35 minutes. Got their goal. And then bloody Raheem Sterling got taken. No. Nicholas Jackson got taken down.
Mm.
And Sterling took the penalty off of Cole Palmer. I know that absolutely agitated the Chelsea fans because I think Sterling had already missed a 1-1 by this point. He was already on a bit of a stinker.
I know what he's trying to do. He's like, he needs a goal from anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a better opportunity than a penalty spot. He's like, right, I'm the big man still. Let me show you what I can do. Cole Palmer, I think, has got 5-5 penalties. He's scored 5-5 or something.
Yeah, well, this happened earlier in the season, didn't it? Where Cole Palmer was going to take a penalty and then Sterling tried to like big man him and take the pen. And then Enzo, who was captain of that game, told Sterling to... And give it back to Cole Palmer. But Enzo obviously wasn't on the pitch for this game. And Sterling stepped up for the pen. Absolutely woeful penalty.
I think if you're struggling and you need a goal, and even if like, I don't know what he's tried to like wrong foot the keeper or something, but the keeper's not committed early. And it's just this weak, limp penalty, like literally just slightly to the, like the right of the middle.
Yeah.
And the keeper's not even had to work for it. I mean, at least hit it with some venom.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself a chance of scoring. The keeper could have dived and got back up and got it.
Mm.
And then after that, the ball gets cleared out and then Sterling's just there, stood there with his head in his hands. And mate, honestly, if you do that, you've got to back yourself, and he absolutely fluffed it. And it's a major fall off. And then that free kick.
Oh, let's talk about the free kick. I was going to say, so this was... this was later in the game. I think Leicester had already scored a couple at this point. But yeah, Sterling, free kick. This was, I think, at 2-2, kind of near the end of the game. You know when the free kick was?
When the thing you got sent off?
When Callum Doyle got sent off. So it was like on the fence of being a penalty, but it was actually just edge of the box. That was another thing. So he got yellow carded because it was in the box at that point. Then it moved to outside the box. He got red carded.
I think double jeopardy is actually like just, I think it's so wrong. I feel like if you make a decision in the box, yeah, and you get, and it's a foul and it's a red card,
yeah,
it should be a red card no matter if they get a penalty or not. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Leicester probably would have taken a yellow and a penalty over the red.
Especially if Sterling's going to take
it. Yeah, exactly. So,
but I mean, for me, yeah, double jeopardy is one of those rules where, like, I understand why it's implemented, because you don't want to concede a penalty and be down to 10 men.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's the risk you take when you're in the box.
Yeah.
Like, if you're good enough, you keep it out of the box. Mm. Like, defend it early.
Yeah.
So, for me, the fact that he got sent off because it's outside the box, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one.
The free kick was given and Sterling steps up. I think Cole Palmer's there as well, but Sterling steps up, takes a free kick, and genuinely, I think it's the worst free kick I've seen this season.
He couldn't have got it further from the goal. It was like the ball was filled with helium.
He not only tries to hit it hard, but tries to curl it, but manages to get absolutely zero curl on the ball. And it goes, genuinely, I think, Rosie.
Oh, mate, it was absolutely
so
woeful.
Bad. But let's touch on the Leicester goals, because at this point it's 2-2. And the first goal that Leicester scored was absolutely shambles from a player that I thought was quite good for Chelsea in the past couple of months, is Axel Disasi.
Oh, mate. Just the howler of all howlers. I mean,
it was bad.
It was Raheem Sterling's lucky that he was on the pitch, because Disasi, I don't know what he's doing, where he's looking. Was it Sanchez in goal for the...
It was Sanchez in goal. It was good pressure from Patson Daka, but yeah, I don't know what was going on.
He's turned around, and it's not even like... I don't think he's looked up at all. He's gone to play it back to the keeper. The keeper's like on the halfway line.
Yeah, so
it's absolute nuts. I mean, you'd only see it in the FA Cup, because that's why we love the FA Cup. But yeah, I don't know. The Sterling performance was a massive, like, he's trying to do like, this is me, I am that guy performance. And it just came off a stinker. Like we said, there were boos around Stamford Bridge aimed at Pochettino.
Some weird subs from Pochettino as well. Like, he took off Mudryk before he took off Sterling, which was weird. But anyway, Steffi Mavadidi, ex-Arsenal player, edge of the box, naughty couple of step-overs to wrong foot. Another player that I thought was quite good, Malo Gusto.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrong foots him and then puts the naughty little finish into the far corner. And Leicester 2-2.
Yeah, and at this point I was thinking, finally, the FA Cup has given us what we want. We were seeing a Championship side take down a Premier League team, the one of the giants of Premier League football. Mm. But then Leicester's 10 men showed.
Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea were fine, that space in behind. Nicholas Jackson was doing a little bit of here and there. What did you see the flick he done? I think on one of the Leicester defenders. And like the ball came into him and he flicked around him.
I actually quite like him.
He's weird. Like, he's got everything there to be really good.
I'm warming to him. He's a little bit hot-headed, a bit kind of Bambi on ice. Maybe like a unripened Danny Welbeck. But I like him. And then, yeah, two 90th minute goals from Kani Chukwuemeka and Noni Madueke to get Chelsea over the line. Cole Palmer, again, instrumental in both the goals.
I thought Chukwuemeka was quite good.
I actually quite like him.
Yeah, he's a physical presence, but technically he's really good. His link-up play, I think Chelsea did some like a nice little 1-2 thing around the box.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was quite nice. I mean,
it's just the quality of player kind of told at the end.
Yeah, I think, Chelsea, you look at the strength of that bench. I mean, this Leicester team should have walked the Championship.
Yeah.
But even still, I mean, the fact that it was 2-2 going into the 90th minute was outrageous. I think the fact that they were down to 10 men from whatever it was, like the 72nd minute.
Yeah, kind of. One of those games where it leaves more questions than answers. Because Chelsea, how they struggled to keep the 2-0, 2-goal lead. And then, I don't know, with 10-man Leicester, how they struggled to score until the very last kick of the game. I don't know, it's a weird one.
Yeah, it's a strange one. And I think it's sort of just, I mean, everything I saw from the FA Cup quarterfinals has just led me to believe that Man City are just going to walk it.
Yeah.
I mean,
although Chelsea have put up pretty good performances against Man City.
They have, but we're coming to the business end of the season. Man City,
mean business.
Like we speak about on a weekly basis, they are businessmen. They are here to win trophies and make it look easy. And I think, obviously, they've pulled Chelsea in the semi-final. And whilst I think Chelsea can give them a game, I
don't stop a Man City.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Let us know right now who you think will be making it the final. We've got Manchester United versus Coventry, and we've got Manchester City versus Chelsea. Is it just going to be another Manchester derby in the FA Cup final?
Yeah, I find it hard to look past. I think United do the job over Coventry. I think that's it is what it is, unfortunately.
I was saying to you as well, like, sadly, I think if Coventry do Man United and get into the final against Man City will just absolutely annihilate them.
Yeah, it'll be a Watford all over.
It'll be like a 6-0 Watford FA Cup final. So as much as I'd like an upset from Coventry, I'd worry for them if they pull Man City in the final.
But that is the beauty of the FA Cup. And I think Man City will have too much for Chelsea. And like you say, Manchester derby in the final. I mean, anything can happen.
Is the Manchester City treble still on? Well,
oh, mate, they
like
do
it.
Back-to-back trebles. I mean,
Jesus Christ. The game is well
all
truly
we can
gone.
Hope for is relegation.
Yeah, come
big
on.
Big relegation. Nottingham Forest deducted 4 points, which sees Luton move out of the relegation zone.
It does indeed.
Which is quite interesting. I mean, if we talk quickly about the Premier League, Burnley came up 2-1 victors against Brentford, didn't they?
Yeah, good result for them.
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of Burnley fans. Jacob Horsfall, is the Great Escape on?
Well, I don't know. It could be. It could be if Everton get another 4 points.
Yeah.
I think that puts them back in the relegation zone. And then, yeah,
I mean,
big running.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think it might be done and dusted for Burnley.
Yeah.
Already. But yeah, I mean, it's good to put up a win. Brentford getting slowly dragged into it, but I think they've done enough already in the part of the season. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, now we're on an international break. England with fixtures against Brazil and Belgium, which would be quite interesting. A bit high caliber level of opponent to play against, which hopefully provides some answers to where we're looking at, where we're going into the Euros. 100%.
We've got an England video coming out soon, so keep an eye out for that. We react to Gareth Southgate's squad.
Yes, and we'll give a couple of opinions on who we think were unfairly treated.
Indeed.
And missing out.
Before we go, Classic Football Shirts. If you want to cop any football garms, head over to Classic Football Shirts using our referral link in the description. Use the code BORDRAW10 and you'll save yourself 10% at checkout and you'll be supporting the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely wicked. Thank you very much for watching, guys. It's been BORDRAW episode 89 and it's live.
The FA Cup is magic. Coventry City.